basketball is a vessel, yeah. and it's an opportunity to change lives.
Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast, we got the opportunity to sit down at the Final Four in Phoenix with two guests, one of which being the current head coach at Emmanuel College, director of coach development at PGC Basketball, and host of the Hardwood Hustle Podcast, Coach TJ Rosine. Alongside Coach Rosine, we get to speak with a former head coach at the University of Waterloo, president and founder of More Than Hoops, Inc., as well as the president and owner of PGC Basketball, Coach Mano Watsa. TJ and Mano both have tremendous knowledge on the basketball industry, not only in how to grow as a coach, but also as a player. So please welcome coaches TJ Rosine and Mano Watsa.
Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales at sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech.
All right, here in the Final Four, Phoenix, Arizona, and we have TJ Rosine and Mano Watsa. So, coaches with PGC Basketball, just tell us a little bit about, first off, we'll go one by one. Who wants to start it off? Yeah.
Yeah, so
rock paper scissors.
Rock paper scissors. Tell us about your experiences, your background.
I'm rock. So, you know, I grew up the son of a coach. My dad coached in Los Angeles for a little over 20 years. He helped run Redlands basketball camps for John Wooden. That's kind of who mentored him growing up as a coach. And then moved to Georgia and he coached me in high school. And then at the young age of 23, I became the youngest head college coach in the country. And I've just finished my 23rd year. So played and coached in a lot of games at the Division II level. We started out in NAIA. We moved to Division II at the Division II level. And along my journey, it's where I met Mano. I was speaking at a clinic and it was really, I mean, it was a godsend to me. It was a game changer to me. He introduced to me PGC Basketball. And I've been around a lot of good people. You know, Don Meyer had mentored me at one point in his life. My dad grew up the way he did under John Wooden. Like, just, I'd been around so many really good people. And then one day, Mano came up to me. We talked. We met. He said, come check out a PGC session. It was tough for me. I had to get away because I had young kids trying to figure out, you know, the grind of getting all. And so I said, well, I'll come down to Atlanta and check it out. And he was leading a session. And I planned on being there a couple hours. And about a couple hours in, I called my wife and said, hey, I'm gonna stay for the night. This is so good. And then the next morning, she's like, what time are you going to be home? I'm like, actually, I'm staying for another. And I ended up staying 5 days and four nights. And really, the main reason why is, like, it just captured my heart. Like, I want to – basketball is a vessel. Yeah. And it's an opportunity to change lives. And we know how it's going right now. Like, if talking to college coaches, the grind of what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in high school. It's the same thing at every level. It's just a grind.
Yes.
And I don't want it to be a grind.
Yeah.
I want it to be joyful. Right. And I want it to be impactful. I don't want to, you know, I've won almost 500 games as a college coach. And what's the goal? 600, 700, 800, 900? What's the goal?
Right.
You know? And I knew I wanted something. And when I stepped in and watched PGC, I just knew, like, wow, this is crazy. This is what, one, it was goodness in basketball, but it was articulated so well at a higher level than I've ever heard anything articulated at basketball. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, like, I want to be a part of this. I want something to do with this because they were impacting so many young kids.
Yeah.
And I just wanted an opportunity to get into it.
You know what I love about what you said? We were talking to a guest earlier today about this very same thing, about our game now has gotten way more transactional.
Yeah.
And I think our job as coaches is to make it transformational.
Yeah.
And the closer we get towards and I still believe that, you know, I think I speak for Doug, but I'm still a big believer that kids still want that transformation, even amongst a transactional environment that we're in. So,
yeah, 100% with you. They still do want it, but we're living in an environment where it's harder for them to discover they want it because everything's transactional, it's financial.
Yeah.
We're going to the NILs, the scholarships.
So much to cut through.
Yeah, so much.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Coach Mono.
Yeah, well, first of all, pleasure to be on the show with you guys. And I fell in love with the game at an early age. Grew up just across the border from Detroit, but on the Canadian side in a small town. And fell in love with the game, but there weren't many people playing the game of basketball in a hockey community.
That's right.
So I had to go searching for everything I could find from Billy the Kid Donovan and Rick Pitino's videos when Billy was in college and how to shoot the ball to Pistol Pete Maravich's videos. I just
nobody knocked the ice off the court.
So I just searched everything to learn how to play the game, and that took me down going into my senior year in high school. I saw this little ad in a basketball magazine called NBA Digest. I think it died out decades ago, but I saw this little ad that just said Point Guard College. I had no idea what that was, but I knew I was a point guard. I knew I was undersized, and I knew I had to figure out what that was. So we put in an inquiry. I got this brochure in the mail. And the next thing you know, that summer I flew down and flew down to South Carolina to a basketball camp called Point Guard College. Mm-hmm. And that 5 days changed the trajectory of my basketball career, my entire life.
Wow.
And so I had the opportunity after a successful college career and after 8 years coaching at the college level, I had the opportunity to get back involved with PGC after the founder, Dick DiVenzio, passed away.
Mm.
And a woman named Dina Evans had taken on the program for 5 years, and she invited me to come be a part of it. And the rest is history. We've been attempting to carry on his great legacy, helping to teach players how to think the game, how to be leaders on and off the court, how to develop a winning mindset. And then over the past 7 or 8 years, through TJ's leadership and our PGC coaching, helping to equip coaches so that they could be transformational.
You know, confessional here for like 10 seconds. My favorite book from, I'm going to say, 8th grade all through high school, Stuff Good Players Should Know.
Oh, man. Mm, yeah. Oh, man.
I still have it somewhere.
Yeah.
I still like have the what I underline, like the edges of the book are all frayed and torn up. But like you want to talk about a book that like, for me, and I didn't know at the time I wanted to get into coaching. I kind of felt it around age maybe 13, 14. But, you know, you never know. Like, people wanting to grow up, be doctors, and they see the first cadaver, and then they want to go into real estate.
Right.
Right? So, like, you never know till you're in it,
Yeah.
That it's what you want to do. But that book is what, like, ignited me to want to get into coaching because everything that he laid out in there about just how to operate as a player – and what he didn't probably realize he was doing with that book is he was teaching professionalism, even if you're not a pro. About just how to carry yourself.
Yeah.
You know, just like don't act an idiot if you're standing in line and being impatient.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I even in a high school game one time, because he had a segment in there called How to Make a Game-Winning Steal. And I actually stole the ball in a high school game.
Using that.
Yeah. But that book, I'm telling you, like, I still to this day, you want to talk about a book that resonated with me as a player, and I still find myself referring to it as a coach. Amazing book, and what an amazing human being he was.
Yeah. I've met hundreds of coaches who have given that book to every player that plays on their team. And when I got to my first year of college at the University of Waterloo in Canada where I played, in the first week, my college coach said, I've got a book that I want you to read. And he hands me this book, and I said, Coach, first of all, I've read the book.
Right.
And then secondly, I spent a week last summer with the guy who wrote the book,
Dick
DiVenzio.
A couple steps ahead of you.
Because he's got a program called Point Guard College in which you learn how to apply everything in the book.
Right.
And he was really happy to hear that. But even Nick Nurse has given it out. Nick shared with me that he's given the book out to every team he's ever coached.
I believe it.
Including the Raptors, the year they won the championship.
No, that book transcends levels. It doesn't matter. Men's side, women's side, forget it. I mean, like, it's something in there for everybody.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be doing justice if we didn't talk more about like PGC, Point Guard College. So you guys both mentioned it. Obviously, you're working in it. But what are some focal things? I know you talked about like characteristics, winning mindset. But like, what are some things that you work on with kids? And I know you said you work with coaches, but we'll start with kids. Like, what do you work on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. We have six different, we call them courses, even though they're basketball camps. Mm-hmm. It's more like a course because players are going to hear it, see it, and do it. That's part of our teaching methodology. They don't. Mm-hmm. We don't just roll out the balls and they play. They're going to go to the classroom as a student of the game and learn how to be a student of the game.
Yes.
Learn how to develop their mindset. Learn how to develop their basketball IQ. How to think the game. How to see the game. And then they'll watch film of players putting the things into practice that we teach. And then we go on court and they actually have the opportunity to apply the things they've seen and the things that they've heard about.
Yeah.
And they learn how to make better decisions. They learn how to play bigger than their size. I was a 5'10 point guard and I knew I was never going to be tall enough, be athletic enough, probably even be talented enough to earn the attention of college coaches and scouts. And but if I could learn how to play bigger than my size, if I could learn how to be the best leader that coach had ever seen, I'd probably have a shot.
Yeah.
And so those are the types of things that we teach over the course of the 5-day, 4-night experience. And for high school and college players, they attend those overnight camps. For younger players, 4th to 8th grade, we have day camps that they attend that take place right across the country.
Yeah. It sounds like, TJ, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like when you first started, you know, watching what Manu was doing, it was bigger than just a camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it seems like what captured your heart was a culture.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Is that am I correct?
In, it is, and you know that's why we ventured off into you know our PGC coaching platform is because we were having a huge impact. I mean, we're gonna have 15,000-20,000 kids are gonna come through our sessions. You know, this summer, you know, we're in 35 different states all over the place, and we know for a fact we're having a huge impact on them. Just like, you know, we're teaching the stuff in the book. It's just good stuff. You have good basketball. But more importantly, we have a lot of kids that walk away and a lot of parents that walk away that said, I would send my kid even if they weren't a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're teaching those good life lessons.
That, yes.
Like you said, they're learning to be a pro at a young age. There's still pros that don't know how to be pros and they're losing contracts because they don't know how to be a pro.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, and so that, and we saw that like going into to the coaching aspect is, you know, a lot of players would go back and there's coaches not well equipped to run a good culture or to lead well. And so we went into the coaching thinking about what does a coach really need?
Mm-hmm.
And we came up with five different areas, and there's more, and there's a lot of breakdown within the areas, but you know, they needed to have the ability to be a good leader. So leadership, they needed to be able to build a culture. They needed to be able to develop players. They needed to be able to run good systems and strategies.
Yes.
And they needed to become a great teacher, because any one of those five things isn't good. Like, you can know all the basketball in the world, but if you can't connect and teach,
that's right,
there's a problem, right?
Yes.
And you also, for all of us, you know, how many times have we seen a team that has a ton of ability but doesn't have a good culture, underachieve?
Right.
So even a transactional coach, you know, like I said, they can take all the talent in the world, not know how to build a culture, and they're in trouble. And
exactly
so,
right.
And also for the joy of coaches coaching the game, you know, some of them don't even know why they don't have joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're letting people steal that joy from them in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But they might even be able to enjoy it if they equip themselves in a way, oh, I do know how to lead well. I mean,
right.
There's a lot of coaches out there struggling. They're losing jobs because they don't know how to lead themselves.
Exactly.
Right? Much less leading other people. Or, like, player development is one that, you know, I would love to talk about, because a lot of times people go out there and it's just about skills. We've got more skilled players than ever.
Yes.
But I'm not sure they all know how to play. And we haven't developed the mental side. We haven't developed, you know, one of the things we teach at our summer sessions is the ability to not just be a dribbler, to be a ball handler. Can I control you? Can I take you where I want to take you to be able to get the ball where I need to get it? And I see every single day in recruiting a bunch of dribblers.
Yeah. Oh.
But there's a difference between a dribbler and a ball handler, right?
100 miles apart.
And so
no
teaching
doubt.
A coach to be able to teach a player to do that, something that will actually translate to a game and make them better. So we just saw a lot of synergy, and it was a natural next step is we want to be a light in the basketball world,
mm-hmm.
and we know that we're doing a good job of that with players and only trying to get better every day.
Yeah.
I said, hey, how can we do that same thing, Coach? Because the basketball world's big, and it takes all of us. It takes the players,
no question.
The coaches, the leaders to make it a really good, enjoyable experience.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it.
I guess I have to ask, too, like point guard college. I mean, do you work with guys of all – I'm sure you get this question more than enough. Do you work with guys of all, like, different heights, calibers, skills?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have players of all positions, and we have our six different curriculums or courses, our point guard college, our shooting college, our scoring college, our playmaking college, and our point guard prep. But players of all positions benefit from learning how to be a better decision maker on the floor.
Absolutely.
And now when you watch all the different players in the pros, who they might not play the typical point guard position.
Yes.
But they're the point guards on the floor.
Yeah.
Jokic is the point guard on the floor.
No doubt.
In terms of controlling play, influencing 100%. Action.
Yeah.
And so players of all positions benefit from the things that we teach.
Well, what I love about that is because our game has obviously shifted to more of a positionless style anyway. I mean, you know, whether it's four out, five out. You know, the days of maybe two monsters in the paint, you know, waiting in there, you know, the physicality, all that. I mean, it's more of a free-flowing, wide open. The whole floor is being used space-wise now. So being able to play on every area of the floor, regardless of your position, is a really big deal.
Yeah.
So, like, this is, like, right down the alley with what you guys are doing is you're not, you know – and then ultimately, like, hey, I always used to tell parents, you know, they'd say, well – some coaches say, you know, they want my son to be a two or a three. Or I was like, don't worry about the number. Let the skill define the position.
Yeah.
And let the skill define what you do. And then from there, you can figure it out.
100%. It's, I mean, point guard college, but another good name for it would be stuff good players should know.
That's really, right. No, that's exactly what
it is. It's really what we're teaching on a daily basis. And you're right. Like, what makes for a great player? I got a player this year that's got as D2 only Portsmouth invite, got a chance to get drafted, and I have all these kids say, what position, you know, I want to be a point guard or I want to be this position.
Yeah.
Just be a good basketball player.
There you go.
You know, and that's what we're teaching. Just
no
be
question.
A good basketball player. Then you'll be on the court. Then
absolutely.
You can do all the things. The coaches are going to put you in those positions if you're able to do it, and they don't care. If you can guard 1 through 5, you're going to be on the floor. And players need to be more concerned with about being on the floor and knowing stuff good players know.
That's it.
Is what they need to be focused on.
Absolutely. No, I think what you guys probably see this, maybe not right when kids come out of your camp. I think you probably realize it for the older ones that come back and see you guys, is that you help their game have an identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So now they go, they finish your camp, then they go off to high school, they go to college, and then maybe they come back and say, well, hey, guys, like, yeah, you were right. I have a way of impacting the game on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
Because I have, you know, you made me think about that as opposed to like, let me just go out and play and hope it works out.
Yeah.
Like, you help them have a plan.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of your position,
you
got to approach the game in a way that, like, it's going to impact winning.
Yeah, and you know what's really neat? Obviously, for those young kids, and Mono wouldn't say this, and we won't name drop, but there's a lot of NBA guys that have used him as, like, a mentor and different – and they've come back, and they didn't know any of the stuff when they were playing.
Sure.
Until they're – okay, now they're in their fifth, seventh year as an NBA player, and they've come back, and they're starting learning this stuff, and they're like, why didn't I know that way back then? So
that's
it's
right.
The other end of it, not just the young players developing their identity.
Yeah.
Players that have been around the game all their life, they go in, you know, they learn stuff good players know, and all of a sudden they're like, why have I never heard that? And that's the genius of Dick DiVincenzo and what he created.
Oh, my God.
It's 30 years later, you still can watch some of the stuff. And we've, you know, there's been changes over time, but like, that's still basketball. That's still good basketball.
No question.
And never heard it articulated that way. And I think that's a really cool thing to see.
I just love that the book keeps getting plugged over and over. We've said stuff about 73 times already.
I've never been on a podcast in which we've talked about the book before. But, you know, equally significant is his book called Think Like a Champion.
Yes.
Which is the other book. He wrote 4 best-selling books in the basketball world. Dean Smith called his Stuff book.
Mm-hmm.
the greatest book ever written on the game, mm-hmm. which was quite a compliment from Dean Smith. But
no argument from me.
But it's had that type of impact in the basketball world.
For
so,
sure.
Tom, I'm glad that you raised it.
And then we talked about the player's perspective, but then like how do you work with them? What are some pivotal things that maybe you see in coaches that maybe they have to work on a day-to-day basis? Because you said you work with coaches as well, correct?
Yeah.
Well, so we have coaches who participate in our PGC coaching program, and we have had 15,000 coaches who have attended our camps right alongside the players. And they come hungry to learn and eager to, you know, see what their son or daughter or what their players, some coaches bring their teams, what they're learning. Mm-hmm. And more than anything, I think nearly all coaches, they want to do a good job.
Yes.
And they want to be successful.
No doubt.
Every coach wants to win.
Sure.
And sometimes what coaches haven't realized is the impact they can have, both positively or negatively, on their kids.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
And I think one of the things TJ and our PGC coaching team does such an outstanding job with is helping coaches to come to understand the type of impact that they can have. And TJ, maybe you could just speak to that. I love TJ often talks about, you know, you'll know how good a coach you were, not by how your team did that season, but in the years after your players have gone through the program.
Oh, for sure.
Do they come back? Do they talk to you? Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, and I mean, I look back.
And it's worth the wait.
Yeah.
Like it's worth it.
It is. I mean, I went out to one of my players' weddings and, you know, in Vegas this last summer, and, you know, 10 of his teammates showed up, and you're with these guys. And you say, I mean, those are priceless, you know.
Oh, my God.
And I can't even remember. I don't even remember how that team did. I think they were good, but I don't remember. It's just those types of things. And I think that want coaches to realize it before it's too late, mm-hmm. how important is what they do. Like, when I look back to my coaching 20 years ago, mm-hmm. I really want to pick up the phone and call all my players and say, I'm sorry. I wish I knew better.
Yeah.
I wish I realized how important my leadership was.
Right.
Then 5 years from now, I'm probably going to want to call them back because I'm just trying to get better every single year.
Exactly.
And that's what we want coaches doing. Just try and get better because, you know, they have no idea what hangs in the balance of their words, their actions, mm-hmm. whether it be good or bad. I've seen it go both ways.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and a part of that is becoming a better coach, you know,
yes.
being able to teach the game at a higher level so that you grab their attention
exactly.
and their respect. And then when you're able to teach the game at a high level, then they look at you in that way like, oh, this is one of, you know, those people that I look up to. Then you have even more powerful words to them now because they respect you and they look up to you.
Yeah.
And you can help them to go places and to do things in their life and become the man or woman that they need to be. Like
100%.
You can change. I mean, how many of us in coaching don't have somebody or multiple people that were one of the most impactful people on us in our entire life?
No doubt.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. When your former players become some of your best friends.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's when you know.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, like there's nothing like that. Like you said, like the weddings. Like, I've been pissed at guys. Like, wait a minute, you had a baby, man? You didn't tell me? I mean, what the heck? I mean, come on, brother. I mean, what are we doing here? So, but that's what you want. And I think the word partnership gets overlooked in our game a lot because that's ultimately when it's really at its best, right?
Yeah.
Is that I'm trying to help you get better. You meet a bar that I just asked you to either meet or clear or jump over. Now, in the healthiest way, in the best way possible, you've put the pressure back on me as a coach to get better myself.
Yeah.
So all I'm going to do with my getting better is give it back to you anyway.
Yeah.
So now your turn, guns back on you. You know, now all of a sudden your range increases. You can make threes. You went from 29% to 35%. Okay. Guns back on me.
Yeah.
Now let's add shot fakes and getting into the logo and the runner or the mid-range or whatever it is. Like, so that goes back and forth as long as you have those guys. And that's just the basketball part.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about the random, like, hey, man, let's just go get an orange juice at the student union or whatever it is. So like you said, like that's what you really want coaches to try to grasp is like this is, you know, especially at the college level, like we talk about it a lot, like, the real world is like the very next exit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, you want to do everything you can to get those guys ready for the real world because they're going to have to get off on that exit.
Yeah.
you can't keep going 2 miles down, Mike. Yeah. Yeah. So, and the real world's not real concerned if you're ready for it or not.
Yeah. And, you know, most most players, everyone's heard the same for that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know? And some of the most dynamic coaches right now that you're watching, you can just see it on there how much they actually care. You can see the relationship between them and their players. And oftentimes a transactional coach just thinks, well, I'm just going to make them do this. And that'll work for a while. You talk about all the time that you know, the care and the sake. That'll work for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But there also does come a point, you know, and that even the NIL money that we were talking about earlier, it's like I've talked to a lot of coaches that be careful because once they get paid, some of them are – you know, are checking out. So that, you know, that carrot worked for a little while.
Yes.
You know, but what I think most young people do long for deep relationship, for great mentors.
Absolutely.
And I do think they really in the heart of hearts want that.
I agree with you.
And I think it's a real blessing to be able in a coach's position to be able to give them that relationship and that mentorship.
100%, man.
And I think it's a great question for every coach to ask. You know, have I created the types of relationships with my players that they want to continue a relationship with me when their career is done?
Yeah.
And from watching TJ and his teams, you know, the fact that his players, so many of his players have become assistant coaches with the team, and so many of them stay in touch with TJ and continue to utilize TJ as a mentor, a lifelong mentor, way beyond just the coach-player relationship, just speaks volumes of the type of coach TJ is and the type of coach that each one of us can be.
Yes.
If we choose to remember in the midst of the competing, in the midst of the wins and the losses and the season, that there are human beings on the other side of that basketball player.
This is a long-term deal. No doubt. Like, this is you know, the old phrase, you know, 4 years versus 40.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, and you'll go through this. Doug's a young coach now, but, like, when a former player hugs you, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps now as I'm saying it, it's different, man. It's different than any other hug. I mean, nothing against loved ones hugs, nothing against a little niece or nephew hug, or, you know, a grandmother, grandfather hug, nothing against those. Those are beautiful in their own way. But when a former player, like, you reconnect with, and they, some have gone into coaching, some are just fatherhood life, whatever, but when you, that embrace, it's nothing like it.
Yeah.
We all know, like, I mean, like, you guys know. I mean, it's there. You asked me to describe it in 50 words. I probably couldn't do it.
As soon as you mentioned and said that, like, you know, people come back, and of course, you know, being on the younger side, I had a couple of those, but not enough. You know, not enough to everybody's extent.
There'll be more.
But as soon as you said, there's coaches that you look up to. Immediately, my mind went to about two or three people, you know, like people that you look at. And then my high school coach used to always tell me he was huge on discipline, loved it, phenomenal. And that's the number one thing I took away. But for him, with the discipline, you know, he would always say, if you don't show 15 minutes early to practice, you're late. And then he would always say, what are you going to do when you get into a job interview? What are you going to do when you get out of here? What are you going to do when you get to college and start, you know, like, showing up to class late? Well, you're probably not going to do too hot in that class. What are you going to do once you get to a job interview and you start not showing up to the job interview? You're showing up on time. Well, they're probably not going to hire you. So it's just like, that's the thing, is I hate when people say it's just sports. You know, it's 10 times bigger than that. It really is.
And yeah.
It's just sports until it's not.
Right.
And then when you have the perspective and the hindsight to be able to see that, I mean, we all live in our own little world and we think what we do. I mean, this is a great example out here at the Final Four. You know, everybody's thinking about this next job or this next – everyone's in that space right there.
Next commit. Yeah,
one
right,
day,
right.
One day, and I say this all the time when I talk about culture or building a culture, you know, I know what I want it to look like when I'm 70. I want my wife and I on the front porch in the rocking chair telling stories of impact, that we actually did something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not going to be, you know, okay, I finished with 842 wins. Let's talk about that again. She doesn't care.
Yeah, conference titles. And, that's right.
No one's going to care. I'll be done coaching. No one's going to care.
Exactly.
But there will be people that will have been impacted.
No question.
That will have been for the good or for the bad, one way or the other, and we're all going to impact them. Maybe neutral, I don't know. But most of the time, it's either a really positive or negative impact. And we've got a lot of power and a lot of influence over young people because – we're teaching or leading them in the thing that they love most of the time.
No question. No, that's why every player matters. You know, it's like, it's a story of all the baby turtles that got washed up on the beach, and then somebody's walking along, and there's millions of them. You know, they're walking along and tossing one in, and then the person that's walking with the person tossing them in, like, What are you doing? There's millions of them out here. Like, you'll be out here all day. You'll be out here for 5 years trying to throw them all back in. You know, that doesn't really matter. And he just turns and says, hey, it matters with the one I just threw in.
Yeah.
Ask that one how it feels.
Absolutely.
Matters to that one.
Yeah, it matters to that one. Yeah. So that's the approach that we have to take, because, like, you just, you know, I think we underestimate that impact.
Yeah.
And how much and how powerful it can be, like you said, if we're good or bad.
Yep. 100%.
I want to dig on one question, and I guess that's probably the last thing that I would have, would be, you know, being in the Final Four now. I mean, just for both of you, as you mentioned, like, a lot of people come here thinking of that next job. How can I make more connections? How can people utilize the Final Four? Not necessarily looking for the job, but, like, how could people utilize the Final Four to help themselves in the future? Like, or what are some ways, you see what I'm saying? Like, what are some ways you can utilize the Final Four and help you in future ones?
You know, I have heard Mono say this a lot about people that have wanted to work with us at PGC, and sometimes it's just state your intentions to somebody just to have enough say, hey, this is what I'd like to do and this is where I'd like to get. And if it hits on the right ears, somebody at some point will take a chance. But, you know, I've always been a big believer in this, and I'm led by my faith, and so I don't want my steps to go anywhere that where my faith doesn't lead me. But I have always also believed that if you will build genuine relationships, you know, as I watch at the Final Four, there's, you know, there is a lot of surface, you know, going on there.
Yeah.
But if you can just dive into a few deep relationships,
yeah,
people that are truly going to care about you, and you're going to care about them. And those are the people that it probably can connect you from two or three people away.
Yes.
And I, you know, coming here and saying I made 1,000 connections versus it might just be that one person, you know, that needed you and you needed them. And it may be even deeper than a job. You know, it may be a life situation.
Right.
I would say go deeper rather than as many numbers as you possibly can.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of value in depth. And I think, for me, that's over my career. It's always anything that I've had the opportunity or want to do has been like, you just had a good relationship with that one person. It's not this coach I talked to once at the Final Four that led to this, you know,
right.
It was somebody that I had a genuine relationship with.
Right. No, I love that. Because that is a big deal. Like, you can walk out on the street and you see a lot of interactions.
Yeah.
But how many connections are you actually seeing? And there's a difference between the two. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, fist bumps and, you know, elbow swipes, but, you know, you don't see maybe a ton of that, you know, while you're here. But again, you know, it's kind of like the coaches say, guard your yard. Like, hey, let's all in our own way kind of be responsible for the space that we're in and make sure when it's your turn, be real.
And we're all a contributor to the game. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Sometimes it's so competitive out there, but in reality, I mean, I think if most people are being honest, coaching is a really lonely place.
For sure.
You go back to your island and, you know.
Especially as a head coach.
Yeah. It's an extremely lonely place. And, you know, it's one of the reasons also with PGC coaching, we wanted coaches to be able to do life together. And I think the Final Four is a great example of, it is a good time to come in here and you know, spend time with people that live in that same space you do.
Absolutely.
You know, and build some connection, because you've probably been deprived from it for the last 9 months.
No doubt. No doubt. And you've been trying to beat everybody else by one point for all that time. So, like, there's no refs here. Nobody's tossing the ball up. Like, hey, you know, just reach across and shake a hand and, you know, create a real bond, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where it goes, but just plant the seed for the purity of planting the seed.
Absolutely.
You know.
Does anybody have any final comments or plugs to throw in?
Yeah, please. How can people reach you guys at PGC? That's a big one. That, you know, I know you guys are humble, but we're going to do it for you. We want you to put it out there.
I appreciate it. For any players or coaches who want to send players or come attend one of our camps as a coach, pgcbasketball.com. You can check out any one of our 163 camps across North America. For any coaches listening internationally, we had players and coaches from 63 different countries last year attend our camp, so would love to have you come be our guest at one of our many camps this summer. And, of course, PGC Coaching. You can go to pgccoaching.com to learn more how to learn and study under TJ. If you want a phenomenal mentor to help guide you in the path to excellence and success and impact, there's no one better in the game than TJ, and you can go to pgccoaching.com to join us.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for being here. I mean, it's a lot going on this weekend, but, like, for us, I mean, we're greedy. Like, we could do this all day just because we're sharing our passion. We're sharing what we love. But, like, I'm personally thankful for guys like you because you guys are doing it from the heart. And our game can never have too much of that. So, again, with PGC, you know, with your college teams, like, just thank you both for what you're doing, man. It's yes, big sir. Time.
Yeah, thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, grateful for what you guys are doing with Rising Coaches to have an impact on the game.
No, we're lucky. We're just trying to leave the game a little
just
bit better than we
chair
found
talking,
it.
Right? Just sitting on a chair talking. Well, fellas, yeah, thank you. Coach TJ Rosine, Coach Mono Watto.
Yeah.
PGC Basketball. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches podcast. For an additional $300 off, select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.